Heather McDonald has got the juiciest scoop. When you're on the road, when you're on the go, Juicy Scoop is the show to know. She talks Hollywood tales, her real life Mr. Segment Serial Data and Serial Sister. You'll be addicted and addicted fast to the number one tabloid real life podcast. Listen in, listen up. Woo, woo. Heather McDonald. Juicy Scoop.
Hello and welcome to Juicy Scoop. So many juicy topics for you, so many updates. Let's get into it. But first, I hope that you've gone to heathermcdonald.net and joined my Patreon. I'm going to have really good episodes this week, lots of updates on my personal life there. And then, of course, that's where you buy all the tickets to my live Juicy Scoop shows. Like I said, totally different than my stand-up. There will be those kind of juicy stories that I tell in my stand-up that I am saving for those live shows, but it'll feel like a juicy scoop on crack, on steroids, whatever. And I've got, you know, Justin coming to some shows. I've got Chris Frangiola coming to some shows. I'm going to have surprise guests. Anyway, it's all at heathermcdonald.net. The tickets are going fast, thank goodness, but not good for you if you haven't gotten them yet. So see you soon. Okay. As you know, Pete and Kim broke up. Then that was a great day for Kanye West, and he posted this like old-fashioned newspaper that said Skeet, which is the name he gave him to make fun of him, is dead at 28. Well, Kim supposedly got really upset with Kanye, like, don't make fun of that. How, you know, this is horrible because he has had mental illness, and I guess because it's like, you know, a dead thing, like not to even joke about that, and that right now, Pete is in trauma therapy. So I was like reading all the comments and everything. And my thought is, first of all, they both went at each other this entire time. There was a time when they were friendly before he was dating Kim and he went on a talk show, Pete, and he said, oh, I ended up having dinner with Kanye and Kim in Nobu and Malibu and they were great and all this other stuff. And he's, you know, there was a friendship there, then there wasn't. But in doing all of this, of course, you know, Kanye didn't like it, which is also Kanye's hypocritical. He's supposed to be all about gospel and Jesus and this and that, yet he really is like a troll sometimes on the internet going after certain people, and in this case, Pete. But on the other hand, Pete's a comedian, so he should be able to take this kind of stuff. And also, Pete taunted was kind of taunting with all the tats. Now other people say, well, his body is like his journal and all the tats and da da da. But still, right away, you know, he put, you know, Kim's name or her initials on him. He had the Kim tattoo right here. Kim's a lawyer. My girl's a lawyer. And then also he had the initials of, I think it was all the kids. So it was K-N-S CP, like for, you know, Shy and Saint and Psalm. And he put it right here. He didn't put it like under his armpit or whatever, just to like show her. No, he put it right here so everyone could see it. It would be featured in every photo that he takes, even if he didn't have to announce it. He knows that he takes a photo like this, people are going to see it, figure it out. I mean, it doesn't take a genius. And that was obviously really disturbing to Kanye, who also suffers from mental illness. So look, it's not going to be great. So then this very funny thing was going around. I'm not exactly sure if this Sweet Adeline reposted this or if the Sweet Adeline is the one who came up with this funny stuff. But it was what to do with my girl's a lawyer tattoo. And it was my squirrel is a lawyer. And then like you could put a little squirrel there. My giraffe is a lawyer. You could do a little giraffe with a tie and a little like briefcase. Very funny of how you can make these tattoos work for Pete. But also I noticed like that, you know, I was thinking about when they were in love and people thought that, did she Photoshop his face or just maybe he just looked sexier when he was with Kim. And then you see a photo that's like, that is the Pete Davidson with the hoodie and the kind of goofy face. Still, you know, no one can take anyone's dick size away from him. And we all know that it's a good one. So, you know, it's like my mother said, no one can take your education away from you and no one can take your giant dick size away from you. So, He'll be just fine. However, I was thinking about what is going to happen to Pete Davidson now. I mean, you know, he loved every moment of this. He loved the press. He obviously loves having famous girlfriends. It's helped him with his career, and that he's just like, you know, he's a comedian, but I don't think he's a great stand-up. I'm going to say it. I think he's likable. I think he's sexy. I think he could probably be a good actor, and I think he could be really appealing. I never saw the Staten Island movie, but I think he could be appealing in a lot of roles. However, he left SNL. I don't know what was going on, but once he dated Kim, it's like we never even saw him on SNL, and then I guess he officially left. Well, they're all going back now, getting ready for the fall season. I think he should call Lorne Michaels and say, you know what? Is there any way I could have my contract back? I need that discipline of being on the show, coming in on Monday, you know, performing Saturday night or whatever it is, coming in on Tuesday, having that daily thing. Listen, he'll probably flake out later on again when he falls in love with some other girl or gets a better opportunity. But I would say to the producers of SNL, just to have him like come around that desk, you know, with Colin, you know, I don't know if Colin's still on it. I don't know. So many people left, but the Weekend Update, have him come and be like, so I had a crazy summer, and just talk about it and like talk about the Kardashians. People will watch just for that. And then even if he never is in another sketch again, even if he never shows up, it will be worth it to get people like hooked into the new season and the new people. And that is what I suggest as a Hollywood genius. Also, you know, I know he doesn't have Instagram, but people still read articles and things. Just because he doesn't have an Instagram doesn't mean he doesn't look at other people's Instagram. He needs to have his phone put away. He needs to just focus on some other things. Definitely, he should delete his Hulu app. I don't think he needs to watch himself in all the goofy thirst trap bits that he did with Kim that we're now going to see on the show. Like that one where she's like, hi, babe, want to get in the shower with me really quick? And he's like, and he throws his phone. That's embarrassing. It's embarrassing. He did some really dorky comedy and some real thirst trap things when he was with Kim. He needs to just like put that away, do his goofy, like admit it, and then just focus on like, hey, I am funny. I am a type. I can act. Let me move on. Don't date anyone for a while. Let this settle down. That's my advice to you. Stay healthy. Some updates on Britney. As you know, as a Catholic, I spoke about the fact that she posted the inside of St. Monica's Church in Santa Monica and was like, this is the church I wanted to get married in, but they never let me because they said I had to be Catholic or one of us had to be Catholic. And I thought the church was open to everybody. What the heck is this? Myself and many people explained to her and explained to the world and on her Instagram, that's not the way the Catholic Church works. I don't know how other churches work, but it's a big deal. Like you can't be divorced and get married in the church unless it's been annulled. Mostly they really want you both to be Catholic, but at least one has to be Catholic. You have to prove that you have that being Catholic, that you were baptized in the church and like have your baptismal certificate. Then, of course, it really helps if you actually are a member of that particular parish. And then, of course, it has to be on a day that they're available, that they don't have any other activities. I had to get married at 2:30 in the afternoon. Not the ideal time. Wouldn't I like to rather get married at like 5 o'clock and then everybody go to dinner? No, it had to be 2:30 because they're like, we have mass at 5:30. We don't really care about you, Heather McDonald. Yeah, we know that you've been part of this church since before you were born with your parents and all five kids went to the school. We don't care. 2:30 is the latest you can get married on a Saturday. And we're like, okay, because we're Catholic. That's what we do. We don't complain and put it on Instagram. No, she doesn't know what she's talking about. So anyway, it wasn't, you know, my whole wedding was over by 9. It started at 2:30. It's not the ideal time, but still, whatever, it worked. It's also a really long-ass ceremony, okay? So I don't think she has the attention span. She wouldn't have been able to spin around, and I don't think her guests would have liked to sit. My guest didn't like sitting there for an hour and a half. Certainly she wouldn't. So I think they did her a favor. But now she is saying, she said, there was a lot of backlash. I'm going to read what she then wrote about it. There was a lot of backlash saying I never asked to get married at the church I pictured. I'm writing this because the church said I never asked. I hired a wedding planner who has done Madonna's wedding and plenty more. Now, remember, Madonna, when she got married to Guy Ritchie, she did get married in the Catholic Church. But he was, I don't know if he was Catholic, but she was Catholic. It was her first wedding, Madonna. She was very Catholic. She was definitely baptized and received Holy Communion and probably confirmation, all of it. So, you know, that's not that weird. Who done Madonna's wedding and plenty more. He was extremely expensive. And yes, my first request was to get married in that church. In the church picture, St. Monica's. So, and it was the only picture I had that I sent him through. Okay. So she's saying he called, but it was also during COVID. And again, I've explained it. So she has then other things that have happened is Kevin Federline gave some interview where he said the boys don't really, are not comfortable with how much nudity and sexy photos that their moms that their mom, Brittany, shows on Instagram. This is the thing that I have been saying, like, that this has to be a problem. You know, at least with my sons, they're like, Mom, if you're going to do it, charge $1,000. They're little businessmen. And they said, I put an Instagram, a reel up and a TikTok. You better be following me, you guys, at Heather McDonald on TikTok and Instagram. Okay. I'm gaining followers at a freaking snail's rate. I think about four people a week join. So could you make that happen? I'd like to get to 300,000 Instagram. Anyway, they were like, Mom, if you want to like get a beach house, you can't just be doing these cameos for what you're doing. You're just going to do, it's called Cameo Premium, $1,000. And they're like, you can just do your like happy birthdays, but with your tits out. And I was like, wouldn't that embarrass you the way the Kevin says that his boys are embarrassed by Brittany. And they said, no, we would be fine with it. So every kid is different. But apparently these two aren't into it. And so she goes on to say, Brittany, on a story, it saddens me to hear that my ex-husband has decided to discuss the relationship between me and my children, as we all know, raising teenage boys is never easy for anyone. I hear you, girl. It concerns me the fact that this reason is based on my Instagram. It was long before Instagram. I gave them everything. Only one word hurtful. I'll say it. My mother told me you should give them to their dad. And I'm sharing this because I can. Have a good day, folks. Well, now that's sad because we all know what she went through. But thank God Kevin was there. And then people are like, what has Kevin never done? He hasn't had a job. Well, I think a job is raising five kids. And if he was a woman, he has five kids. He has two with his first wife or girlfriend, Char Jackson. And they might even have two with the wife that he has now. But raising all those kids, and they seem like they're pretty great kids, and they're in like a difficult private school, has a lot of homework and activities. I think that's pretty rude to actually criticize him for it, because if he was a woman, no one would say anything. So thank God they have one stable parent, whether it's K-Fed or not. Like, so. And he's, you know, he got asked and he was explaining it. It probably is embarrassing and hurtful. Every kid is on Instagram. She has 45 million followers. Every kid is probably following Britney Spears. And you're literally like at a lunch table and it's like, hey, your mom posted again. And it's, you know, it's her like on a bed being sexy, rolling around, spinning in her brown pumps. She has every right to do that. That's her way of expression. That's what she's doing. I understand she was in the conservatorship for 13 years. But you don't just, you know, you are affecting other people. And if your kids are like not comfortable with it, that's just a fact. So her husband goes into defender and he says, to clarify, my wife has never posted a nude selfie except of her butt, which is quite modest these days. Well, I guess holding, you can't show a nip anyway. They would take it down. So she likes to like just squeeze her boobs together and cover her nips. And no, we've not seen vagina, but I swear to God, the other day she was at the gym and it was like really low. Like it was the pelvic bone. I mean, I could see the top of the vagina, like the little top of the line. It's a lot. And they're sexy and all of it. I don't know why she gives it away for free. I guess she's so rich. But honestly, she really should start an OnlyFans. I know there's a lot of teenage kids whose moms are at one time a big star or not, or they're just pretty women, they're doing OnlyFans. It's private. You have to pay for it. Why are you putting it on Instagram for free? Stop rolling around, girl. Get in the studio and sing. Anyway, so that's, it all came out. And she, you know, bringing up the fact that her mom said that, yes, she's still very upset with her mom. And, you know, it's just unfortunate. And hopefully, as everyone matures, she will have a great relationship with her sons as they get older, and they'll never, you know. But right now, it appears they're not close, and she's just looking for someone to blame, which is always the conservatorship. So I'm adding a little bit because this came in later in the day after I already recorded the show. Brittany posted a long post, a long writing of how she's feeling about her boys. She basically says the boys were coming, and she had to ask Kevin throughout the years, what days are they coming? And they would always come about 2 days a week. She wanted three. It went down to one. She accepted that. She accepted that they, when they would come, they really wouldn't spend time with her. They'd go up to their rooms. And now they don't want to come at all. And she's like, you know, everybody took everything away from me. My dad and I supported all these people, and everything I've done for the last 20 years are for those boys. And if they don't want to see me, fine, fine. They're so hurtful. Why don't they care about my feelings? And you know what? I actually like it. I like waking up in the morning and not having every week to write you, Kevin, and say, are the boys coming or not? And wait 3 days for a reply. You don't want to see me, fine. I have a beautiful home. I have a pool. I have five dogs and a husband. That's basically, I'm giving you the little summarized version. I just want to say, as someone who is a mother, who also has a lot of friends and have dealt with seeing people get divorced and with teenagers, you know what? They're not going to always be thinking about your feelings and how you are feeling hurt. Kids of divorce have a right to be, you know, not the greatest behaved, a little insensitive, and also the teenage boys. So if they're being, it's not about you, Brittany. I know you've been through a lot, but like, you're putting this on your boys to be constantly thinking about your feelings as the mom. It's not your child's responsibility to feel, to wonder how you're feeling. Now, I know she's been through a lot. I know she has mental issues. Again, it's not the boy's fault. And now you're putting it out there on your Instagram. And I just don't agree with it. I'm sorry. I don't agree with it. There's 9,000 comments saying that you deserve it, Brittany. We'll get the truth. You're, as a mom, it's not cool. It reminds me of when Alec Baldwin left that horrible voicemail for or Ireland Baldwin at 13, calling her a little pig and a little brat because she blew him off on his day to see her. Kids that have to live in two separate houses, especially when it's traumatic, especially when it's Hollywood, it's, yeah, you know what? Sometimes they don't want to see you. And like, you just have to be that parent that sits back and lets them know that you love them and that you'd love to see them. But you cannot take it personally, because if you take it personally, your relationship's going to suffer even more. Be the one that's like, I'm the parent. It's about you. What makes you happy? Okay, maybe we won't see each other for the 2 days that the that is court specified if they're teenagers. But you know what? Could we have lunch? Could you come over for breakfast on Saturday? Can we make that happen? And then you know what? It may not happen, and that'll suck. But like, you've got to be the parent that's not making your kid feel guilty about this stuff. That is my opinion. Ugh. Moving on. Okay. Oh, so Demi Lovato, who we talked about, she has a new song coming out, which makes me think maybe this whole thing of saying I'm going back to my original pronouns, I'm leaving they, them, all kind of helps to get her music out, which we all give her. She's a very talented singer, artist, and I assume songwriter, because this song is seemingly, she slams in this new song the 12-year age gap between she and her ex, Wilmer Valderramo, in the new song that discusses being 17 and 29. So now she's 29, and she's reflecting back on the fact that when she was 17, she dated the actor Wilmer, who was on That 70s Show. He dated a lot of young girls. That's probably another deep dive that we need to do, Annie, because I remember he was with Lindsay Lohan too. Anyway, he appears to be a good guy today with a little baby and a beautiful fiance and stuff. But so it is interesting when I've talked about it before, when you're that young, when you're that girl dating that guy that's significantly older than you, and you're anywhere between, well, 17 is, you know, under legal age, but even if you were like 19 dating like a 35-year-old and stuff, you, when you're 19, you're like, of course, like we're hitting it off. I'm so mature. I'm so great. I'm smarter than all my dumb friends. I love talking about this stuff and blah, blah, blah. And then when you get to be 35 or even a little bit, you look back and you're like, well, I was like fucking weird. Like I knew none of his references. What the hell? Like, what was this? Why is he seeking out girls where he has such a, you know, so much more life experience, just intelligence, logic. Why is there such a big difference? Why does someone pursue that? And it's because they can, and it's because they can manipulate the situation to their favor. So obviously he's probably not going to buy the song and listen to it, but that's out there. Speaking of other actors / comedians that date much younger women, Tracy Egan Morrissey, who is a writer and she has an Instagram, she did a massive deep dive on Dane Cook's Instagram because she was probably equally as intrigued as I was when I reported on the fact that he is marrying his girlfriend of 5 years who, at the time of their engagement, she's 23. And I was like, whoa, they were dating when she was only 18. Well, going all the way back now, I'm guessing if you were to go to his Instagram now, this stuff has got to be gone. I mean, if I was his friend, if I was his associate or manager, I'd be like, dude, remove everything except for like the last 6 months of posts. Just get rid of it. It all comes down to this game night. He'd have these game nights. It appeared he'd have them like once a week where he'd host them. And he was very into Instagram and he'd post a lot. And he'd be like, these posts would be like all of them gathered around, usually like looked to be about 25 people or so, guys and girls. And it's like, you know, with these big poses. And then the long thing from Dane would be like, epic game night. We laughed, we cried, we ate pizza. Some people got killed. Some people, I don't know what these game nights are. I assume it's like you go to the house, people are drinking and eating, and you have groups of people and you fight against your teams, and some people are ruthless. And obviously, everyone, there's a lot of young, attractive girls in these photos and a lot of guys that look well over 35. And some of them are photographers, some of them are other actors, some of them are like no names. And then Dane, of course, is in every one. And some of them Dane would take a photo with, like, this is my homegirl. She killed it last night at game night. And the research that was done was this girl would be literally 14 or 15 years old at these game nights. And he'd be like, my homegirl, or my homegirl killed it in the movie that she's in. And like, you're 45 at the time. Very, very weird. His own fiance, it appeared to have attended the game night where they met when, at the time, she was invited as someone who was not 18 to be with all these men in their late 30s and 40s on this Hollywood game night. Of the four or five girls that they discovered were in these Instagram photos from 2016 and 17 that attended these game nights who were well under 18, none of those girls who are all like aspiring actresses and stuff, none of them follow Dane Cook and anymore. So that's weird. These were such fun, great game nights that you had. Oh my God. Ugh. Like, really? Yeah, because they probably realized, like Demi Lovato, it was fucking weird. It was weird. Yeah, was I flattered to be invited? You know, because I met somebody on a set or I was at a coffee shop or someone was like, what are you doing tonight? Or I met Dane Cook after a show and told, and he's like, what are you up to? And I was like, oh, you were really funny. And then I got invited to this thing and then some shit was creepy and weird. I'm not saying anything was wrong. There's been no reports. I'm not saying anything like that. He's not like looking at charges or anything. But I do think it's weird social practices to be a 45-year-old single man with no kids and inviting people or allowing your friends to bring girls that, let alone that they're not 21, they weren't even 18. I would definitely think alcohol, this, that, everyone's got to be 21 that comes to my house. I mean, maybe he was naive. I don't know. But obviously he had a type. He also dated another girl prior to the one that he's engaged to who was 20, and there was a photo of them that he provided of them, like, in Hawaii, I think, or maybe it was paparazzi photo, of he, at the time, he was, like, 43, and she was 20, and she was a Playboy model. Huge age difference, you know? But, hey, Hugh Hefner had a huge age difference, too, right? So some guys are just very comfortable in dating women that are, like, fresh out of high school. That's their type. That's who they really mesh with. It's a soul thing. It's not an age thing. But as women, as we age a little bit, even if you're a part of one of those weird age gap relationships, you really realize how really fucked up it is, and you wouldn't want it for your daughter. So I'm wondering, I know a lot of people have been talking about this, probably not enough, which is why I'm talking about it. Dane Cook, I met him once. I'll tell you the story. I met him once. It was at Tom Green, who used to be married to Drew Barrymore. Yes. Oh, my God. He was a sweetheart. He was funny. He was silly. We were silly. I adore him. And she does adore him because she had Tom Green on her show at one point, on her talk show. Anyway, he has had talk shows and this and that. And he had something. And I had a publicist, or maybe Showtime had me go to it, when my special, which came out in 2014, was coming out. And Dane Cook was also there promoting something. And we're in the green room. And I remember from doing my Showtime special, the Showtime people, my special came out August something, 2014. It was supposed to come out in October. And they said, you know what, we're moving yours up to August, whatever, because Dane Cook's special is not ready for the August date. So we're going to switch you guys since yours done. Yours is going to come out August. I'm like, fine, great. Sooner the better, whatever. So I see him in the green room and I go, hi, we've never met. I'm Heather McDonald. And I think he was kind of like, yeah, yeah, like acting like he knew me. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. And I said, and he goes, what are you here for? I'm like, oh, interesting. I'm like, my stand-up special on Showtime is coming out early, I think, because you were still editing yours. I took your August spot, because right, because yours is coming out in October. And he goes, you have a stand-up special? Jeez, they're just giving them to everyone now. I am not kidding. That is what he said to me. Total dick move. Maybe he was like, fuck, oh, hey, I was joking. Like, I didn't mean it. I don't know. I thought it was rude. It was my first special. I was pretty fucking excited about it. And, you know, about to, like, do this little I actually did a Drew Barrymore impression for Tom Green. They, like, loved it. Tom Green was lovely. Everyone on this, you know. But I just remember being like, you're a dick, you know. And I actually, like, admired Dane Cook for, like, how he was, like, the first comedian. I remember reading an article, like, in the LA Times about how he used MySpace, like, the first comedian to really use social media to get people to come to your shows, get fans, not rely on, you know, a sitcom or a TV show to get people to come to your shows, or a publicist to, like, really utilize your own fans. So I was always like, he's great. And a lot of people would, like, kind of rip on his style of stand-up, like, and everybody does this, and everybody does this. He would do this thing. And I was like, oh, don't shit on it. The guy has, like, worked fucking hard. Then I found out that his brother, like, stole millions and millions of dollars from him that he entrusted to manage him. I've heard those interviews, which are totally heartbreaking, awful. But he was a dick to me, and I think it's weird that he had underage girls at his stupid game night parties. So that's my thought. Have a great wedding. Okay, Harry, oh, this is funny. Okay, remember when Prince Harry, it's a little juicy scoop history for you, when he was just kind of supposedly wild, he wasn't wild, he was single. He went to Vegas, and there were photos of him, like, butt naked, like, playing pool, like, in a hotel room. Someone saw it. He, like, met some girl at a party. She spilled the beans that they boned and everything. Anyway, her life is pretty uneventful, and she has now decided to share about her infamous Las Vegas romp, and it's up for auction. Okay, she's a former stripper, and she claimed that Harry handed her his underwear after stripping down in a Sin City hotel suite 10 years ago, and she's selling these Prince Harry underwear at the auction. Like, oh, who cares? You know? Can I just talk to you? You know, I really was, like, defending Meghan many years ago. Even when my friends were like, I don't like her. I'm like, you're a bitch. Like, let her just be you know, an actress who went to Catholic school and married a redheaded, like, pretty cute prince. Like, why is everyone such a bitch? Like, she has a weird sister who's, like, awful to her. The thing about me, you guys, is that my opinion changes sometimes. It does. That's what intelligent people do. That's why I hate when people want to cancel people because they did a tweet 10 years ago. They may have felt that way 10 years ago. They may have not thought about why it was a bad tweet. But the whole point is you evolve and you change your mind. You might have believed in one political policy 5 years ago, and now you don't because you did enough research or you saw something. Like, people could change their mind. So I'm changing my mind. I'm not a fan of him anymore. And you know what? I'm going to say something. You're not going to like it, or maybe you are. He's not looking that cute anymore. He really isn't, and neither is William. And he's, you know, losing his hair, which is not a big deal. I like a bald-headed guy. But I feel like he could just end up looking like a big pink penis in about 5 years. You know what I mean? Just like pinky and like, because it's just not, he's not doing it for me anymore. And so I don't care about his skid mark underwear that she's going to try to auction off. She's a desperate chick too. And all Samantha wants is those candlesticks. Give your sister-in-law Samantha those candlesticks. You know, having great looking hair is not just about how you style it. It's really important that you have a daily hair and scalp health regime because it can make a huge difference. I have been using Way's new scalp serum and thick and full supplements, and it is completely changing the way my hair looks and feels. Absolutely love it. I suffer from a dry scalp, worse now that I'm older, especially in the summer. It's so easy. I put it on when my hair is wet before I style it or even at night, making a huge difference. This is so good, especially if you suffer from irritation from like wearing tight ponytails or excessive hair detangling, you know, when you're just pulling on your hair. This really helps keep your hair looking fuller and hydrated and by having a balanced scalp. Then I've been taking their thick and full supplements. It's vegan. It's a one-day supplement. It has zero flavor, and it really supports thicker, fuller, healthier hair. It really helps the appearance of shedding, which I've also noticed I've had more in the last couple of years. So you guys, you said my hair is looking great. I am loving it. You've got to try it. So grow all the way with Way's Scalp Serum and thick and full supplements. Go to theway.com. That's theouai.com. And use the code JUICY to get 15% off your entire purchase. That's 15% off your entire order at theway.com, code JUICY. Okay, little update on Teresa and Joe Gorga and the wedding. Story came out that Teresa sent Joe Gorga and Melissa Gorga a bill for not coming to the wedding. Every wedding has a few no-shows, okay? And, you know, you pick that up. If you would have known a couple days before, maybe not the day before, but maybe 5 days before, you could tell the caterer, it's not 212 people. Now it's 195. And they're like, okay, we'll take, you know, we'll set it, whatever. She knew a few days before. I think that she didn't have to pay for them. And who knows what she really paid for, or what Bravo paid for, or what was free or whatever. I still think it was probably some of it came out of her pocket. Anyway, Louis, the new husband, who's, you know, he made a comment. He said, we would never charge them for, you know, the bill. They were missed. Louis really is kind of like a great PR person for Teresa. And so I think that story was fake. I don't believe it would be true either. Maybe she said to someone like, oh my God, you know, it was $320 a head, like that cost me $640, them just not showing up. She may have said that. People do, brides do. Now, the story, everyone, more and more details about it, all comes down. Now, the latest thing I saw, and this is all alleged rumors of people, that apparently Margaret and Melissa were in New York doing something. I don't know if it was Watch What Happens Live or just like having a good time. And apparently, I'm going to say allegedly. Allegedly, Melissa was talking to some dude who I saw a photo of him. He looks very cute. Was like in a car talking to him. And Margaret went out and Margaret allegedly saw a kissing thing happen. She shared it with her friend, but was like, don't tell anyone. But I was dying. Can't believe Melissa did this. somehow that friend is either on the show or tells another girl who was on the show that a new, like two new cast people, and they know about it, and they tell Teresa early on, like, this happened. Allegedly, Teresa and Louis went and told Melissa and Joe, like, there's this rumor going around. It's been told to me. We don't want to talk about it on camera, but if it comes out on camera, we're just letting you guys know. That's the Teresa camp saying that, like, she actually tried to protect Melissa. So the season goes on, and this rumor is, like, I guess being discussed somewhat behind their backs. I don't know if it's on camera or not. At the finale, it comes up. It comes up because Margaret and Jennifer Aiden, who was Teresa's good friend and in the wedding, they were fighting, and Margaret said something like, you know what, you're a drug addict or you drink too much something, because Margaret doesn't drink at all. And Jennifer, so the big fight happened, and in that fight, this cheating rumor comes out, and Melissa felt betrayed because I guess in Melissa's mind, this was something that, you know, she squashed. It wasn't true. We'll never bring it up. We're good. And she blames Teresa somehow for getting it out. And in Teresa's mind, she's like, I never started it. I never did it. I don't know. But I don't think Teresa blames anybody for it because all of the cast was at her wedding except for Melissa. So that is the riff. And, you know, who knows, but who knows who this guy is? He's some married guy. He's pretty cute. Who knows if they were just talking? Who knows if it was just a kiss? Who knows if it was nothing? Like, who knows if, like, they're kind of okay with, like, stepping out once in a while? I doubt it, but maybe so. And they have their own understanding, and it's, like, not a big deal. There's no proof to it except one person saying they saw it, and then she told a person, then she told a person, then she told – but that is the scoop. So, also, her hair cost $10,000. The hairdresser has been going around doing interviews, and it had 1,500 bobby pins in it, and it took 2 hours to take off of her head. And, you know, it was go Jersey is go Jersey, go big or go home, whatever. So they did the big hairdo, and it just sounded, like, awful, and, like, she probably needed, like, a massive, like, chiropractor, like, crack or neck massage after, because I think that would be, like, very hot. And how that hair didn't catch on fire when she was, like, hitting these drums and, like, sparklers were going and all this other shit. Anyway, now there's also talk that she is going to have a podcast. Of course. Teresa. Can you imagine? Now, I don't do a great Teresa impression. I'm not going to act like I do. But it's with, like, a girlfriend of hers. And I'm just going to tell you what I think what an episode might be like. So, you know, last night I'm with Louis, and you know how Louis is after he comes back from, like, a 2-day trip, and it's like, oh yes, Teresa, you two can't keep your hands off of each other. Okay, so, you know, we're doing my thing, you know, because I'm, like, a good wife. And one of my daughters is like, Mom, where's the meatballs? And I'm like, I already got my hands on 2 meatballs. Oh my God, did I just say that? Oh my God, you are hysterical. Teresa, you are hysterical. I can't. I cry so hard. Those are going to be, like, the bits that then they post. And they're like, oh my God, you know, Page Six is going to write about it. Teresa got caught holding Louis' balls when, you know, whatever. What are their kids' names? Gia wanted some meatballs. I don't know. That's going to be the podcast. So good luck. It's going to be unfiltered. It's going to be candid. It's going to be all the things that nobody wants to hear. So I can't imagine. And now Melissa, who's only had a podcast for, I don't know, 6 months, she's probably going to feel a little like, fuck, you're copying me. Everybody's copying everybody. I've been doing it for 7 years, but I wasn't the first one either. So get over it, people. Everyone's got an Instagram. Everyone's got a podcast. Not everybody is good at it. So do your thing and good luck to you. And if you want to hear the voice about ingredients, you can. So I don't know if you guys remember this show. It was on Nickelodeon. Maybe you watched it. Maybe you remember your kids watching it. I don't know. It was on Nickelodeon. Now, this was a Dan Schneider show. I've talked about Dan Schneider because he had all these Nickelodeon shows. There's a compilation video of how much foot fetish kind of storylines. He was a child star who then became a producer director and had all these shows on the air. He was just churning them out. And there is a YouTube compilation of how many storylines involved feet and Sexy Feet. I personally thought the storylines for these shows were way too mature. There was this girl on it, Jeanette McCurdy. She was on the iCarly show. And I remember being like, why is this girl got like so much hair and the hair is so mature and she had like fake lashes and she was 12 and she was like, a storyline was like, my boyfriend cheated. And I always thought it was so weird, but they're very popular. She then gets, they say, we want you to have your own show. At the time, Candace Cameron, Kirk Cameron from Growing Pains, he and Candace were like these child stars that both had their shows, and their mom was actually a child's agent. That mom also represented her, probably along with a bunch of other kids. And she gets her, she's supposed to have her own spinoff show. Instead, they put her with another star, and it's called Kat and Sam, and she's the lead, and now they're like maybe out of high school. And she starts to talk about this in her book, and then the book is called I'm Glad My Mom Died. And she had a very tough childhood and not a lot of, you know, it's great that she got made it in Hollywood because her home life wasn't good. Her mom was mentally unstable. I think she was a hoarder and had some mental, some physical things like cancer, and she did pass away. So this was a great escape for her, but she worked her ass off. She's very candid about how jealous she was of Ariana Grande, who at that time, you know, wasn't the musical superstar that she is today. She was a working little teen actress on all these shows, but she was working on her music. And she was like a secondary character. Anyway, Jeanette got a couple movie roles and went to the producers and said, hey, could you write me out of an episode or something or work around the schedule so I can go do this part in a movie? And they're like, absolutely not. You're the lead of the show. You're, you know, we can't rewrite stuff that you could do some part in a movie. No. Then she finds out, gets to set one day, that the script has been changed to accommodate Ariana Grande to perform at the Billboard Music Awards. And she's furious and she's jealous and she's very candid in the book about it. She's like, I'm jealous about this because I come from nothing. She comes from Boca Raton. Her mother buys her Gucci bag. She's had all these opportunities. And then yet again, she gets to leave and pursue these other elements of her careers. Why I'm stuck here. Not now. I just want to say this happens. Life's not fair and jobs are not fair. You will notice whether you're working at a yogurt shop or you're on a TV set, your manager or the producers or whatever, they will favor people. You will get the short end of the stick. Or you might be the one that's getting favored, or you might know how to work it, or you might know how to ask better and present yourself in a more confident way than your coworker who won't get as many breaks as you. That is life, especially in Hollywood. Because quite simply, Ariana, who's not the lead, and they like wrote her to be like, oh, stuck in a box for the episode or something. Her going to the Billboard Awards and performing is going to bring so many more eyes and publicity to the TV show on Nickelodeon that she's on. This girl, Jeanette, going off to Atlanta for a week to film something might really be great for her acting career, but it's going to do nothing for the Nickelodeon show when it comes out a year from now. It's not going to do anything for the show. They only are thinking about their show, getting what they, how much they can get out of it. These kids didn't get paid much. Producers didn't get paid much. So there you go. So she's pissed about that. So it's pretty juicy. I'm waiting for hopefully something will come out, more stuff about the Dan Schneider, because what happened when all that stuff came out about his foot fetish and the weirdness, he was never again accused of like anything where there were criminal charges. They just like gave him a big chunk of money and was like, goodbye, you don't work here anymore. And I wish Heather McDonald from Juicy Scoop would stop talking about it. So I don't know what else. So far, I was like, that's kind of interesting. And I saw an excerpt from it. And she does write pretty humor, like pretty funny about her jealousy. And she said the final straw was when Ariana came to set and was like, oh, last night I had game night. I am not kidding. Game night. She played some type of charades or something with Tom Hanks. And that is when Jeanette's jealousy just could not take it anymore. She's like, two-time Oscar winner. Oh my God, you know, he was Woody. How is she getting to hang out with Tom Hanks? And I'm not, like, this is so unfair. And, you know, I think that probably led to her taking like a bigger break from acting or whatever. But love to have her on the show. Come and tell me everything, Jeanette. We reached out. Okay, this is very sad, very disturbing. Okay. Anne Heche is 53. She's an actress, and she kind of really got known because she was like this up-and-coming actress, but she fell in love with Ellen. They saw each other at a party, and they dated, and so she was like the kind of the first like actress to be like, yeah, I was straight before. I fell in love with a woman. She and Ellen, you know, kind of looked similar with her blonde hair. Ellen had just come out, and she got a lot of publicity. She had a couple major movies. They break up, and then in like 2001 or something, she has a weird experience where she's like found on someone's lawn, and she said aliens tried to take her, and she revealed about childhood sexual abuse and all this stuff. But then she gets better, and then she gets married, and she has a child who's now like 20, and she's consecutively worked throughout all these years. And she, of course, has a podcast, and she went the other day, and she went to this store, and she bought a red wig. And the guy working there posts about it and was like, so random, Anne Heche walked in here and bought a red wig. I thought that was interesting wording, so random, makes it sound like it was random, like she was maybe acting strange. She then gets in her little Mini Cooper and starts speeding and crashes into like a garage, like the concrete part of a garage of an apartment. And some people come out and they're like, oh my God, what's going on? And she doesn't let them help her, backs out and goes speeding down a suburban street in Mar Vista, which is a part of like West LA area. And actually a Ring footage caught her speeding by. And it is so weird to see someone going at like a freeway speed down a small, narrow residential street. But they caught it. It was like, vroom! And the witnesses said then all of a sudden they heard this boom, and she just drove right into this innocent woman's house. And, you know, like, and it went right into the house, and the neighbors tried to help the girl that was there, and she was okay, traumatized, but she's okay, and her two pets are okay. They try to get Anne out, but then it starts to catch on fire. Like 50 firemen came. She is very sad. She's in the hospital. She's in a coma. She's been incubated. They did test her alcohol level, her blood. Obviously, they're not going to like arrest her while she's, you know, in a coma. But there was alcohol caps, like a cap in her car in some photo or something that looked like she was drinking. The podcast episode that she did with her co-host, who coincidentally is named Heather, it had just been uploaded the day of the accident. And I think she came from recording it, but it, you know, we know how these things work. So this might not have, she might not have been recording this one that then they put up an hour later. It could have been she recorded that one. But the one that was put up the day of the accident, she was slurring and she was talking about how she was drinking vodka and wine while they were recording. So she clearly has an alcohol problem. And it, I think we will soon find out that she did, that she might have been driving drunk. So, you know, terrible and weird. Then there's this other girl who is a traveling nurse who in LA was supposedly mad at her boyfriend. I don't believe that she was drunk. She has been arrested. She goes barreling down the street over 100 miles an hour in like a 30-mile zone, crashes into these people, crashes into all these cars, cars caught on fire, and six people have died. Nine were, like a couple more were injured. Six have died. One girl was pregnant and had her toddler in the car and her boyfriend. They're all gone. Like absolutely horrific. They find out this girl has had, prosecutors are saying they're looking into all the different crashes she had. She had 13 prior crashes. This girl is 33 years old. She's only been driving for, I don't know what, 17 years. I mean, what the hell are we talking about right here? And in 2020, that involved bodily injuries and two total vehicles. How did she still have her license? Who did she know? How did this not get found? There's some, you know, some people are theorizing, like, did she, a lot of nurses know cops? Was there something like that? I know that this would be a very hard thing to shovel, you know, if there was any kind of accident report or whatever. So maybe her license wasn't valid and we'll find that out. Anyway, she's obviously looking at second-degree murder and manslaughter and all these things, and she's put away. Very sad. Okay, lighter note. Bravo News. There's a new show on Peacock called Real Girlfriends in Paris. I saw the preview. I think it's a great idea for a show. It's all these girls that appear to be in and around 30, maybe younger, and they're all like in fashion and they're living in Paris. So I think aesthetically, we have never had a show in Paris. I have never been to Paris. I think it might be fun to watch. So it's kind of like a reality version of Emily in Paris, which I know is a big hit, but I don't really watch it. And I mean, I just saw a small trailer. So like, you know, I don't know how much I will like get into the girls, but they're all like attractive, but they're not like the fake, like, you know, blown up faces. They all look like, most of them are just brunette, working fashion girls, and somehow they have like a relationship with each other. And I think definitely people will be into watching it. And if it goes, I think there's going to be a lot more new shows like this. Because of course we're waiting on The Real Housewives of New York. We've heard for sure there's going to be the new version with a bunch of young 30-somethings, and then there's still going to be the legends, and we don't know who those legends or whatever they're going to call it, the OGs, going to be. You know, the ones we know it's going to be probably Sonia and Luann, Ramona, who knows what's going on with her, who knows if who will come back, if they'll bring back some of the original cast, but it'll be like that age group. And then another younger group. But I think seeing the younger girls where we could maybe follow them for like 10 years is the way to go. I think it's a smart move. This is weird. So sadly, you probably remember, hopefully, Gabby Petito. I talked a lot about her. Actually, she went missing. And then they found out that her boyfriend, Brian, actually killed her and then killed himself. And it happened all around about a year ago. So now I had mentioned that they were suing, Gabby's parents were suing Brian's parents for like withholding information that they may have had about their daughter missing. And it was not a lot of money. And I was like, that is really weird. Why are they only suing for whatever it was, $60,000 or something like that? Strange. Well, maybe because they were getting ready to do this one. They are now suing the police, the parents of Gabby, for $50 million in a wrongful death lawsuit against the police. If you guys remember this case, one thing that was really sad and disturbing is the police came after somebody saw a couple fighting. And the couple was Gabby and Brian. And the police came and we saw footage once she was missing of the policeman's camera on his body where she was crying and upset. And he's talking to him, Brian, and he's talking to Gabby. And, you know, she never, I don't remember the details of it. I don't know if she said that he hit her or he said she hit me. So he goes, she hit me. The police officer goes, well, can you guys have places to go where you're not going to be together tonight? Go your separate ways. This is what I'm remembering. Go your separate ways. And he doesn't arrest either one of them. And I guess there's no marks on anybody, but they're obviously she's upset. So their case is, had he arrested Gabby, since Brian said Gabby's the one who hit him, she should have been arrested. And had they arrested Gabby, we would have known about it. We could have taken her home. She would have never been with this guy again, and she'd be alive today. I think this is going to be a real hard one for them to win. And because I really, when we all saw it, some people thought he didn't handle it right. I kind of thought he probably did. People don't, you know, sometimes when there's a fight and wasn't like, you know, a black eye or something, maybe they're just like, hey, are you guys good to just go separately? She did have that time separately. If I was defending the police department, I would say she had that time to call her parents and say, got in a wicked fight with Brian. Like, I'm worried for my safety. I don't want to be. No, she was still, whatever reason, wanting to take the, you know, continue to travel with him. And it's really terrible. It's really, really sad. It's why, thank God, there's like domestic violence places and stuff for people to know that when you're in a situation and you're all scared or you think that your partner is not treating you right or maybe not mentally stable, do not think, oh, it'll be okay. Like, do not think about this because it could be very devastating, right? And it could be very scary. So you have to be very careful with that. But interesting lawsuit right there. All this is going on right now is Rush. Okay. People are doing that whole TikTok trend where it's like you show your outfit, you put your phone down and you're like, I'm doing Alabama Rush. They call it Bama Rush, sorority rush. And they're like, skirt by so-and-so, dress by this. And, you know, a lot of little fun parodies and stuff about it. And someone said, Heather, I really want to hear your sorority stories because some people are just fascinated. Sometimes what they're seeing on TikTok and people sharing these Rush videos, they maybe never were in the sorority fraternity world. And they really don't understand what it's like. And what my experience was, obviously going to be somewhat different than someone today because it was 30 years ago. So another element of all this Bama Rush, hashtag Bama Rush, TikTok viral videos on TikTok and Instagram is there is a person named Grant Sykes. I don't know what pronoun Grant uses, but the name is Grant Sykes and Grant is transgender. So Grant has short hair, wears dresses, makeup, pink skirt, you know, all of that. And apparently Grant is a University of Alabama student and is going through Rush. That's all I know. Because I'm like, is Grant being picked up by any sororities? Do the sororities want to be, oh my gosh, we're the first one to have a transgender girl in the sorority? Or is Grant just doing this to get all these views and have people discuss it and wonder about it? I do think it's a really interesting discussion. It's something that I've wondered about for the last like 5 years of when like an all-girl high school would start accepting trans girls. There might be some right now. Maybe you know of one. I'm very curious. Honestly, like I could see someone who has a trans daughter wanting them to go to an all-girl high school because it's probably a very safe environment. I think the girls would probably be quite nice, but I think a school is different than a sorority where you live and date and share rooms and bathrooms and all that stuff. And so I'm just going to talk about, this is just like, I'm going to talk about a little bit about sororities for those of you who don't know, because I was actually explaining it to my sons. So sororities began because back in the day, only men could go to college and only a handful of women would be allowed to go to college. And they were very discriminated against. The men were mean. It was hard to be taken seriously. So that's when sororities started. Just, fraternities were already happening. They were like, we need to do this just so we have a little, you know, strength behind us and we have a built-in sisterhood. That's when they all started. And then, you know, that some became nationals and took, you know, and that national means that like, I'm a Gamma Phi Beta. There's Gamma Phis in all the major universities, most of them at USC. My mom was one at University of Wisconsin. Therefore, I'm a legacy. My mom was one. So that's kind of fun. Like I have her pin. And the whole point in my day that people join it is it's a really fun party. It's a great place to live. If you're at a big university, the houses are beautiful. There's food provided. There's a living room. Like it makes financial sense to like live there if you're paying your dues for the house. And you really make some great friends. You have a built-in social life. You have people that you all are going to go to the football game together. You're not like sitting in your dorm room like, I have this student ticket, but like I don't have any friends. That's why people do it. I understand why people think it's bad. And, you know, it's basically a country club. It's not a public thing. It's a private thing. So they can choose who they want to be in their house. And the whole point is they choose people that they think would we get along. So people want to hear my stories. I'll tell you some stories. One of the things, there was the girl who planned all of it, who was the head of our Rush chairman. I was social chairman. So I would go out and like flirt with guys of good houses and find who their social chairman was. And it was like, you guys should have an exchange with us. Then they would provide all the beer, all the drinks, all the parties. And then they'd all come over to our house and sing some frat song after they've already had five drinks. And then we'd walk over to their house and party, make out, have sex, whatever you want, leave, go to another party, dry hump. It was a glorious time. Okay. Best time of my life. So, and then you'd have your friends and then I'd recap it. So then we'd always party on Thursday and Friday morning we'd have breakfast and I would recap the whole night. And I remember one time this girl came down, a couple girls came down and they're like, did we miss the Heather recap? Fuck, we overslept. And I was like, I thought to myself, because I was a senior and I was graduating, how can I make this a career? Recapping a crazy night out. Thank you. That's called secreting without knowing that you're secreting it. But basically, yes, I was basically doing like a stand-up routine where I'd imitate people, talk about who was dancing with whom and this and that and who got together and how I escaped this person and what song was playing and all of it. So I loved it. And then during Rush, people would come through. And when I was going through it, I remember I went to all these houses and the DJs from now, this is a long time ago. So at that time, SC was very Southern California. A lot of kids from Southern California went there. A lot of people's parents went there. It was a big thing. So all the Thetas, the majority of the Thetas were from Pasadena, which was the kind of old money of L.A. Pi Phi was just a mix of just like hot, beautiful girls. DG was all Newport Beach. And it was interesting because their theme was anchors. So it kind of went with like a thing. And Gamma Phi was like a mix of people. Alpha Phi was the Valley girls. Okay. So they liked me. They're like, you're one of us. 818 till I die. And I'm like, well, my mom was a Gamma Phi, so this might be hard. So I go over and I'm talking to this girl, this DG. And I remember her being like, so what does your dad do? And I say, well, my parents are realtors together. And they sell houses. And she was just like, he's not a doctor? I'm like, no, it's like real estate. Haven't you ever seen those people, like a couple, and they're like on bus benches? That's what my parents do. And I thought it was like great. And she's like, hold on a minute. And she left me alone in the room for the next 30 minutes. And then the next day they dropped me. So I was like, okay, so they're not into me. So, but then the other houses that like you really like you. So that is what it's like. And for some girls, they have an image in their head. I need to be a DG, but if the DGs don't want you, you don't want to be there. So that's the way it was for me. Now, part of it in luring these girls to hopefully be that you, the house, get to pick all the people you want and they want you is to put on a great show, look as cute as possible, have the best personalities, put your best girls up front. So, and then you would open the doors and we would do a song to greet them. And it was like, I just remember it was like so hot because it's, you know, August in LA. And I don't think our house had air conditioning. And we had to like open up these windows and scream and just be like, just like veins coming out of your horrible. So I go in and I'm like, I don't know who I'm going to get. The Gamma Phi is okay. I told my mom, I'm like, not picking your house just because like it's your house. Like whoever, I might be a DG. So I go into Gamma Phi, and now, like, third day in, now it's whittling down. Now you're only going to, like, three houses, and it's called, like, house tour day. And in my day, every house did a, like, Broadway theme. So Kappa was, like, they did Cats, Kappa Cats. And, maybe a girl sang, like, Memories or something. Ours was Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Okay, so, and like, Dorothy is looking for her home. And so the girls, everyone wore these spandex, because everyone had, like, a pretty good body, would be the spandex outfits. So there was a bunch of, like, silver tin men that would dance. And then there was a bunch of, like, lions that would dance. And they're like, rawr, like, do this. And then, Annie's dying. And also there was a day where we were rapping to Vanilla Ice. And did like a full rap to Vanilla Ice, okay? And was like, Gamma Phi, baby, baby, baby. You know, like, oh, so. Anyway, so you know I'm a thirst trap. You know I like to be on stage. And you know I like to sing. So I see the girl playing Dorothy. And she sings, you know, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. And it was like, I can't remember. It was like, Somewhere Over the Rainbow. Way up high, all my sisters and me. Because she's trying to find her home. Dorothy's trying to find her home, and she finds her home, and it's a Gamma Phi band at USC. So I'm sitting there, and the girl goes, Oh, I go, oh my God, that was so good. That was such a good sketch. I loved it. So cute. Love Wizard of Oz and, you know, Somewhere in the Rainbow. And she goes, oh, it's sad because Jenny, or whatever her name is, who plays Dorothy, she's been doing it for 4 years, but she's a fifth year senior this year. So she won't be here next year. And I got wet. I was like, holy fuck. There's a spot for Dorothy. Like, for the, if I get in this house for the next 3 years, I could be Dorothy. So I'm like, done. This is the house. I get in the house. I do the audition. I remember the audition night. I kill it. Okay. Because I've been seeing Somewhere in the Rainbow since I was like four. And I'm Dorothy. I wear the outfit, the whole thing. And then one day, towards like my senior year, I'm out drinking. And this, you know, at a bar, and this girl comes up to me. She's like, wasted. And she's like, how you doing, Dorothy? Isn't that your name, Dorothy? Anyway, she was like triggered seeing me because she had a horrible rush experience, which people do. You go through it. It's multiple rejection. If you don't get in the house you like, it can be really traumatic. You can feel like a big loser, and you can really hate sorority girls. So I totally get it. And that's why I was like, oh, my God. And people would say for years, I'd be walking on campus, hey, Dorothy, I thought it was great. But this girl wanted to fucking kill me and my little dog, too. So Annie's a sorority girl, too. It's not a requirement to work for me, but we do have that in common. And so a lot, so that's the deal. And I think based on the house and how big the house is and how traditional the campus is, I think it's changed with the times, or it hasn't. So there you go. People wanted to know. Olivia Wilde dating Harry Styles. You know, she was married to Jason Sudeikis. They share two kids. She was doing a TED Talk. You may remember this. And she was served a like a manila envelope with stuff in it. People in the audience at the time thought it was an unsolicited movie script. She knew it was Jason serving her about custody. She still managed to, like, get herself together. I'd be, like, shaking like a leaf. It was awful. Now she's come forward and shared with the judge, like, that was so shitty that he did that. That's so wrong. He has said, look, that was not my intention for her to be served on stage during, like, a TED Talk or interview or whatever she was doing at this conference. I didn't want it being served at her current partner's house, Harry Styles, because the kids might be there. I didn't want it happening at some other place. So the process server just did her job, but it was not my intention. I feel bad that that was awkward. Meanwhile, the judge has sided with Wilde, granting her motion to dismiss the custody petitions filed by Sudeikis in October. Since, quote, the court finds that that New York does not have jurisdiction to hear the custody petitions, as New York is not the home state of the subject children. So the case will stay in California. So what he was giving her was something like about a custody agreement that would happen in New York. And the judge is like, no, all custody agreement between this couple will stay in California because that's the home state of the kids. So this whole thing that happened with him serving her was a waste of his time and money anyway. But not, you know, pretty embarrassing. NeNe Leakes. Woo! Last night, she's tweeting away. And as you know, she's suing Bravo, and she names Andy, and she named Kim Zolciak, and she believes that she had unfair treatment compared to other women in the franchise and on Atlanta, and that they have kept her from getting work. It was going to go to trial. They are now trying to settle. They've been trying to settle since June. I think that she put out these posts last night, these tweets, to, I don't know if it was smart or not, but to get Bravo to give them what they want, because she wrote a tweet saying, oh, I have these recordings of Andy. I can't wait to share them. I really should. And Andy might be like, and there could be no recordings. No, none. But it might be like, fuck, let's just give her what she wants. I've said before, I think it was a huge mistake that she ever went down this path. And she's probably even more pissed now, seeing that the rumor is Phaedra is going back to Atlanta. And of course, with these ultimate girl trips and everything, and she keeps saying, he kept me from getting work. Andy kept me from getting work. Well, again, in Bravo's defense, there was COVID, shows end, maybe Ryan Murphy doesn't want to hire you anymore because he hired her for a couple shows. But does she really have real evidence of, like, Andy or someone from Bravo picking up the phone when she had a deal in place and saying, no, we can't let her do that because she's still under contract with us? Even if that happened, that might be true. Here's another Hollywood story for you about myself. So I did a pilot called Lyricist Lounge with Trace Ellis Ross. And before the pilot got picked up, it was for MTV, I got my VHS tape and I had my friend, her sister was an editor, and I had her put all my sketches together and my agent sent it to SNL. SNL looked at all my characters and they said, yes, we want Heather to come to New York and audition for Saturday Night Live. Great. I'm dating Peter. I call my aunt who lives in the Hamptons. I'm like, Peter and I are coming to the Hamptons after our audition for Saturday Night Live. I go to my my director from the Groundlings, Jennifer, and she helps me put all my characters together, half original characters, half impressions. I'm packing. I bought some white jeans specifically for the Hamptons. And I'm about to leave for my Tuesday audition. I was going to leave on Monday morning. It's Sunday night. And my manager calls me and he's like, I have good news and bad. The MTV show has been picked up. But the bad news is you cannot audition for Saturday Night Live because Saturday Night Live would then be in, is never going to be in second position. Meaning if you go there, they want to know that if we want you, you're 100% contractually available to work for us. Not we have to negotiate with some other job or some other contract. And he said, now listen. And I'm like, what? He's like, I've called MTV. I've talked to all the people. I begged them to agree for them to be in second position. Meaning if you want her, if SNL wants Heather, we'll let you have her because we're Christians and we just want her to have a much better, bigger career and be Kristen Wiig. But Kristen Wiig probably took my part that year. Anyway, Kristen Wiig wasn't even on it. And so he's like, but the MTV is like, absolutely not. Like, she's the star of the show. She's in like all the sketches. No, we're not giving you the lead of our show. So I called my aunt and I said, we're not coming because of this situation. And my aunt's like, oh my God, I just brought all this food. I thought Peter was coming. I was very excited to meet him. We were going to go to some places in the Hamptons. Anyway, I'm like, well, now we're not coming. And that was it. Okay. Never auditioned again because after that, I was married and I had my stepdaughter and I never pursued it again. And because of that, I am just an average person working my ass off doing Juicy Scoop for you every day. But the point is, that's how that stuff works. So it's kind of hard to prove, did someone keep you from getting a job or did they have the legal right to say no? I remember when I interviewed Danielle Staub, original New Jersey housewife. I had a long interview with her. It was super juicy. Afterwards, I think she realized that she gave me too much juice and she was going to start a podcast and she gave me 17 cuts to make. And I literally just said, I appreciate you, but like I'm not cutting this down to like hearing about that you can make pasta. Like literally you want to cut every fucking juicy thing out. So we never aired it. However, one of the things I remember that she said, now this is just coming from memory, so I'm not saying it was 100%, I'm not sharing the audio, was something to effect of between her leaving New Jersey Housewives and the, you know, right after like she was going to leave. She's like, I'm going to leave. It was too awful for my kids. And I told them I'm not coming back. I think she only did like two seasons. During that time, she either got The Apprentice or some type of celebrity type show like that. And it was done according to her contract. She was going to go. She was going to, do this. And she needed this money because at this time she's a single mom and, you know, huge platform, NBC. I don't know if Bravo and NBC were combined at that time, but it's her opinion that she remembers them saying, calling her agent or something called and said, we're so sorry, you are no longer going to be doing The Apprentice. And she's like, why? And he said, well, because they're not allowing you out of your contract. They have the right to keep you and they have the right to say you can't do another show in case they do want you. So she missed out all on that, and she was real bitter because you remember who went to do The Apprentice? Teresa. Now, I don't know if that was the same year. I don't know if they were just talking to her or if she really had it in the bag. But so I think there might be some stuff where it might have gotten lost in translation. It might have been exaggerated. It might have been they want you for this, but do they really want you? Or are they just asking your agent, like, you know who might be good for this part is Nini. We're talking to some other people. I mean, the amount of times people have written me and were like, we very much would love to have Heather do this thing. Or my agent's like, hey, I think I have this deal for like a skincare company for you. And then I'm like, what happened? What happened? They're like, oh, they ghosted us. We never heard from them again. It happens. Just because they at one time were interested in you doesn't mean until you like sign the contract to test for it. And even then, they don't have to give it to you. So that is it. And I think she's never going to be asked to be on any Bravo show ever again. So at this point, she should just try to get them to settle for the most amount of money possible. Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. Crystal is on there and she is sharing about her eating disorder. This is her second season. I think Crystal's a very nice, pretty, beautiful girl. I don't think the audience is, I don't think the audience is into eating disorder storylines. I don't mean to be harsh about eating disorders. I'm talking as a Real Housewife consultant who's watched it and knows how this stuff works. So I'm giving you my opinion. It didn't work with Jackie. I can't remember if we've heard it with anybody else. Jackie from New Jersey, she's been demoted as a friend. And it's not really working for Crystal. I believe both of them have suffered with this. And I believe that they're supposed to share their truth. I just don't think this is a storyline that people at home sympathize with, can relate to, or want to hear about on a show. They also don't want to hear about how your kid is slightly behind in potty training or talking. Because there's people at home whose kids really are diagnosed with something serious. So if your storyline is, well, my kid has a little speech impediment, or like I remember I used to be like, spoon, like I couldn't say spoon. And my mom like sent me to a speech person and then I was fine. If my mom was a housewife and you guys had to watch that, you'd be like, who gives a fuck? Like, I don't care that this girl can't say spoon. Like, like this isn't juicy. And also, like, when there's kids that really, you know, are struggling, like, thank God that's all you have. And thank God you can pay for a private person to help. So I'm just saying those things don't work. I don't think we've ever had a cutter, but I'm saying if you are, if that's in your past, I wouldn't bring that up. No. The things that work as a storyline consistently to keep someone on the show, crowds, the people engaged and possibly bring you back is alcoholism, lesbianism, and divorceism, which is not a word. Now, if you do all three, like Bronwyn at OC, it's just too much and you weren't that interesting to start. You have to kind of be selective with it. But I'm telling you, and my prediction is Taylor's got one or two of these going on. And that is why she's coming back. And I think people want to see it. And I think that the producers know about it. And I think if you just give a little, you know, inside of like, hey, I'm struggling with this, whatever. I think that makes for interesting TV. And I think they probably know that. So that being said, I like Crystal a lot. She's saying she, in this article, like that she didn't really get the reaction she thought she should get from the girls. They were prying too much. The fact that, you know, Erica Jane was like, it's a chicken wing, you can't have it, you know, to Crystal, like joking about it is really hurtful. And then that she admitted that she uses laxatives, Erica Jane. My prediction is Crystal doesn't come back next year. I'm not saying I want it. I'm just saying that is my prediction. Okay. The new girl, Sherry, who is Garcelle's friend, but also was the first wife to Will Smith. They share a adult son together. She's popping in and out. She is gorgeous. She's pretty entertaining. No storyline of her own yet. However, she has a clothing, like, I don't know if it's just a virtual store or a store, but according to this article, which is the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills article all about the tea, the FBI was called on her, Cherie Zampino, for selling counterfeit purses online. Now, I looked at the purses, and they're those kind of purses that at a quick glance, like if you were driving by, you would think it was a Louis Vuitton. but they're not trying to be a truly fake Louis Vuitton, the kind of fake stuff that you go to a rich lady's house and there's like a person in the back or someone is out of the trunk and you're like touch it and it's really made of leather and it's really actually great quality. And it's like instead of being a Chanel purse for, you know, $6,000, it's like $250, but it looks great. It's not those kind of fakes where you really could walk into a room and everybody thinks you spent $6,000 on this purse. It's like those kind of fun fakes, like the Fendi sunglasses are like $35, but they're not Fendi. It's like the arrows and stuff are a little bit off. So I don't really understand if she's truly in trouble for this or not, because she's not trying to pass it off as the real stuff. But anyway, I thought that was kind of interesting. And also that's her job. Erica Jane is talking on the show about how she's like, yeah, I've got some good D. And that good D told me he likes me being a dominatrix. And, well, then she also posted, she goes, I'd be a dominatrix. I'd call it Pretty Mess Dungeon. And, you know, I'm going to do it. I'm going to whip him. I'm going to flip out a tit. I know how to walk all over rich men. It's expensive to be me. And her two people working there are like, oh, my God, you're so great. So she posted on Instagram, like, a video of Pretty Mess Dungeon and all the housewives that are her friends, like Lisa Renner, like, fire, fire, you go, girl, you go. You go with your whip and chain. I don't know if she's really serious, like, someone's really going to pick. I mean, maybe. I don't know why she would do that in person before she could just do OnlyFans, because she is gorgeous. And listen, Carmen Electra's on OnlyFans, I just noticed. I went on Carmen Electra's OnlyFans, and she's not as good as other people's OnlyFans, okay? So this is how they do it, okay? So it's like you're like Carmen Electra. You're like 50 and still fit and gorgeous and no one's giving you parts. And you're like, what the fuck? Some guy that's been whacking off to me since he was 12, we'll pay for it. So it goes like exclusive content. So then you go and then they write like these little things to get you to click on it to see their video or whatever. And this one girl that is stunning, her stuff that she writes is like, ooh, good morning. It's a little nippy out. Ooh, I just did some jumping jacks in my sprinklers and in a white tank top that might have fallen off. You know, click here for exclusive content. And it's so I'm like, wow, this is like written pretty well and stuff and getting people like, oh, my pants may have fallen off. You know, anyway. So Carmen does that, too. I'm just saying, Erica, like, just get on it before it's too late. Because the thing is, you don't have to do videos. You could just do photos. And with your makeup and hair people and all of your photoshopping, like, who cares? Like, you could make yourself look so good with the lighting and everything. All right. But remember when people realized that Armie Hammer was, like, living next to Erica, or he had a Finsta, which is a fake Insta account, and people thought, did they date? Is that so? Now when you're watching it, you're like, is that who she was doing dominatrix stuff with? However, though, we know that Armie is the dominant in all of that stuff. He was like Christian Grey 10 times worse. He did not want anybody dominating him. So I don't really think they ever got together. I don't believe it, but they could have been neighbors that just like had straight sex. And then she was like, you're not tying me up, but show me your tricks, baby. And then went on her own. I'm not really sure. Speaking of which, the documentary that Casey Hammer, who was on my show, is out. It's coming out on Discovery. It looks really good. Two of the girls that really came forward with the most disturbing stories about their relationships with Armie, where they were flattered. They're dating such a gorgeous guy. He's so great. Everything's normal. Then they start getting into some kinky stuff to the point where even in this trailer, it's shocking what they share of like how scary it was and the things that he wanted to do to them and tie up them up and say, my fantasy is to tie. And they have like the phone, you know, they have the text and everything to prove that he sent it to them. The thing I want to do to you is tie you up on a tree in a public place naked and see how many strangers you'll just, you know, that will violate you or, I mean, really awful, awful. And then his aunt, Casey Hammer, shares all about the history of their family and the abuse that she suffered. Anyway, I talked a lot about it when it was all being discovered with the Zen Blonde is how I first discovered it. I think she's part of it too. And I'm really happy that we're actually going to hear from two of the girls that he dated and hear really from them what happened, because there was a lot of speculation of what was true and real, and they're going on the record to share. Meanwhile, I don't know. Is he still selling condos in the Caymans? I don't know. Victoria Beckham is allegedly, from the Mirror, jealous and annoyed that her daughter-in-law is basically using the Beckham name. Now, the daughter-in-law comes from $1.8 billion. It's the Peltz family, but nobody knows the Peltz family. I didn't know it. Anyway, they're really rich. But she is a Beckham now. She married the boy. And so Victoria Beckham, you know, has a lot of line of fashion and clothing and beautiful dresses and all that. And this story is supposedly she doesn't want her daughter-in-law using the Beckham name in the fashion industry because it'll, you know, maybe be a conflict for the empire of clothing that Victoria Beckham has shared. I find this all so interesting because Dream Kardashian, Rob and China's daughter, her name has been trademarked like 12 times in all the different categories for entertainment, clothing, hair, makeup, this and that. So by Kris Jenner. So that means that if when Dream Kardashian is 21 and she has a clothing line, Kris Jenner will, if she wants to use, it's Dream Kardashian leggings, if she wants to use that, Kris Jenner has to be a part of it some way. Now, they may have done that to ensure that Blac Chyna couldn't be a part of it, and being that Rob is, you know, the father, but the Kardashian name, I mean, I think they were shaking in their boots when they thought that Rob was going to marry Blac Chyna, and then it could have been, you know, China Kardashian eyelashes, China Kardashian Skims or whatever, China Kardashian Spanx, China Kardashian eye makeup, lipstick. But eventually it could be Dream Kardashian, but Kris got that covered. So kind of interesting. Glad that I kept my maiden name. Okay. No one's, you know, going to be Heather McDonald, you know, like if my son married a Heather, there's not going to be another Heather McDonald. They're going to be Heather DeBias. And I'm okay with that. If you have a Heather who wants to marry Drake or Brandon, I'm fine with having another Heather DeBias out there. As long as I'm the only Heather McDonald comedian podcaster, because there is another Heather McDonald, but it's a Heather MacDonald who is very different from I am and from what who I am and what I do and what I look like. But right now, I think I'm the only like Heather McDonald comedian podcaster extraordinaire. And at least I just can like rest assured I'm not going to be like Bitter Betty like Victoria. Last thing I was going to say, I saw some stories and stuff that Ben and Jen, like someone left the honeymoon early. It's also really interesting because they did show Jen's son of the twins and he looks just like Mark Anthony. Okay. And it's funny because I talk about how Jennifer Garner and Ben Affleck's daughter, the oldest daughter, looks just like Jennifer Garner. It's just kind of funny. So anyway, there's been like some rumblings like they haven't been together. He always looks annoyed. Well, Jen and Ben, according to Page Six, it says exclusive this morning, newlyweds, Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez were seen packing on the PDA after making a pit stop at the Dunkin' in Santa Monica. I mean, first of all, they don't look like they're packing on the PDA. And we know that he likes Dunkin' Donuts because he's from Boston and he likes that kind of coffee. But if you are trying to tell me that this wasn't planned because these stories were out, that there wasn't like a love in paradise and they were like someone left early or fighting. She so called and was like, definitely call the paparazzi. I don't know if he knows when she does or not, but I think she called the paparazzi and was like, let's do a couple errands. Let's go for a walk on the beach. And then was like, I really need coffee. Can we stop at Dunkin'? Come on, baby. Let's talk at Dunkin'. Oh, better not be paparazzi there. I'll let you smoke the whole way there. All right. So that's what I think. Nothing like a cigarette and a Dunkin' Donuts in the morning on a foggy day in Santa Monica where the paparazzi just happen to be there and catch it. Like you can't get that shit delivered. You can't have an assistant drop it off. Come on. Last thing. Our girl, what did I tell you? that what the hell's her name? I forgot her name. Lori Loughlin is back on Hallmark. I don't have the time to go back in my predictions, but I'm pretty sure that she would be, I didn't know that she would be doing Hallmark again, but I knew that she'd be working again in TV. And I think I predicted it would be about this soon, like within a couple years of her going to prison and having it be resolved. So she's back on Hallmark. Listen, nobody gets canceled anymore. You know what they get? They get put on pause. That's right. I got put on pause. I had a beautiful house at Stone Manor. I was lovely to all the women. And you know what? Andy says I'm coming back. They said, I'm coming back. I'm going to Teresa's wedding, taking beautiful photos. I had a beautiful sequence jumpsuit on, and I had the best time ever. So don't worry. But I also predict that Dorinda does not get asked back. Okay? Not this year. All right, you guys. Thank you, everyone. Listen to my Patreon coming out Friday. And I appreciate it. You go to heathermcdonald.net. You get your tickets for the show. And that's it. Have a great weekend. Thanks, you guys.